Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to finish this series with Dr. Charles Jackson. This has been a lot of fun, and I've got a lot of feedback as I've been releasing these different parts of this series, talking about the lies, deception, fraud that you find in our high school and college textbooks. And well, we've been talking about a whole bunch of different topics around the creation evolution debate as a whole. It's been a lot of fun talking to Dr. J. But anyway, today we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday and finish this series with Dr. Charles Jackson. Okay, do we find that fossils that should be in younger layers are in older layers, or vice versa? Fossils that should be really old are in these younger layers?
Well, one of the things that that does is the evolutionists believe that the oldest things are the things that lived at the bottom of the ocean. Isn't that convenient? Because Noah's flood would have buried the things that were at the bottom first. So they're saying, ooh, look how the oldest things are at the bottom. No, the bottom things are at the bottom. Their story just pretends that bottom things are older things, and that's not necessarily true. And one of their biggest problems is, even in the deepest layers, you've got brachiopod clams. And they said, see, they are extinct. They only lived back in the Paleozoic, you know, from the Cambrian to the Permian. But now we found brachiopod clams alive today. They see things like snails. Well, snails live today. They see the sea lily or the crinoid, and sea lilies live today. And then again, in the higher up layers, Ordovician, Silurian, Devonian, where you find your amphibians and fish, and then they find the coelacanth living today. There are problems in the human evolution layers too. The fossil of the monkey we're supposed to come from that comes after Lucy is the Australopithecus africanus, and it's higher enough up in the dirt in the rock layers that they believe it's a million years later, but it looks more like a monkey than Lucy does. So what did National Geographic say in that issue, or what was it, 1998, I think it was, said, oh, no problem. You see, evolution just went backwards for a million years. And Lucy devolved back to monkey looks, and then Africanus began to evolve again into upright walking man, handyman, and into us. So don't worry about this being exactly the opposite of the way it should be. They make up stories to make up for those things.
Okay. So we've talked about a lot of different things that are taught in our textbooks that are not exactly true. Is there some things that we missed? Is there something you want to throw in here before we close today?
Well, we did mention how the Big Bang Theory violates all the known laws of physics, including the first and second law of thermodynamics. And you briefly mentioned that the Big Bang Theory on how stars came to be also violates. See, for gas clouds to collect by gravity and squeeze themselves into a tight enough ball to cause, for the pressure to cause nuclear reactions like stars do, that kind of pressure would make a lot of heat. But hot gases don't contract, they expand. And the expansion force is hundreds of times greater than the force of gravity, the weakest of the four forces of the universe. So wow. Stars could never collect themselves together. So stellar evolution or star evolution is also a very complicated, long story they tell, which is doomed from the very start to be stupid. It's doomed to be totally against the simplest laws of physics and chemistry that we know of. It could never happen. So they tried to say that black holes cause gravity waves through the universe to knock gas clouds into each other and force them to squeeze into stars. Yeah, but where do black holes come from? According to their theory, they come from stars. So where did you get the star that the black hole came from? So it just gets worse the longer they talk. That's why it's great to actually, what they like to do to teach evolution is just give you a little snapshot of one phase of a particular story of evolution. Because if you look at any part of the story for more than about 10 minutes, it starts to look dumb. So they just wave the textbook in front of you real fast. And what we're going to go through this chapter pretty fast. Just remember it's all true. And actually, I think it's good for students to study evolution for weeks on end because kids are smart today, and sure. they are smart, and one of the things that they do smartly is avoid overstudying. So they will normally ignore the chapter on evolution as dumb stuff, but if they actually do study it, they are smart enough to see that it is dumb and that it's a dumb thing that is believed by smart people. Why would smart people believe a dumb thing? Because people believe what they want to believe. That's not how science should be done, and that is not how religion or theology should be done. We shouldn't believe what we want to believe. We should believe what actually is true. You know, I don't care how the universe got started or what anybody thinks about how the universe got started, because no matter what you think, you're too late. It already happened. The only thing left to do is to figure out what did happen, not argue about who's right about what happened. That has zero meaning or value. The only thing that means anything is what did happen. And Jesus said, the truth will make you free. Truth is what science should be all about. Truth is what religion, theology, should be all about. I mean, I have people say, don't you think God could have used evolution? I say, well, of course God could have used evolution. God would be the only way evolution could happen if it did, because it would take a miracle. Science certainly couldn't do it. It would take a miracle that breaks the laws of science to make evolution happen. Yeah, God could have used evolution, but that doesn't matter. What matters is, did God use evolution? And there's no evidence that he did. As a matter of fact, there's plenty of evidence that he didn't. What only matters is what did happen. How did the universe get started? How did life get started? How did all of the different kinds of life get started is all that matters. And the truth, I believe, is going to be confirmed in the Bible, what the Bible says, how it happened. The truth is constantly being confirmed more and more in science that evolution isn't the way it all happened. So what really happened, what is really true, is all that should matter in religion or science. And if we really were all looking for that, there'd be a lot less of this childish arguing and like you said, the trolls. I hope that's what you were kind of looking for me to top it off with, and I certainly hope that all of this has helped.
Oh, it absolutely has. Dr. J, Dr. Charles Jackson, friends, again, his website, creationtruth.com. It has been a pleasure to have you, and I can see, I mean, you really are, as Dr. Sharp mentions, you're like a nuclear warhead.
Get it right. Dr. Sharp is the founder and president of Creation Truth Foundation. I just work for him there.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's his website, and you can find my blog site on that website under the blogs, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
We also have a Facebook page, Creation Truth Foundation.
Okay. It has been a pleasure. It has been awesome to have you, and I can see where I might want to try and talk you into coming back on. There's so much more to talk about. And so, yeah.
Well, you know, we could spend the whole time just talking about junk DNA or just talking about human fossils or just talking about the Big Bang. And I would certainly be happy to, Michael. It's been a pleasure, and I thank you. You asked good and important questions.
It has been a blast. I really appreciate it. I know my listeners are going to love this. So, yeah, thanks for coming on the Youth Apologetics Training Podcast.
Okay, thank you, Michael, and God bless.
All right, guys, that's Dr. Charles Jackson. Again, he's part of the Creation Truth Foundation. You got to check out their website. There's a lot of good information there. Again, Dr. Charles Jackson, Dr. J, as many call him, has a ton of YouTube videos as well. Check those out. Just a wealth of information, as you've already seen here in this series. So thanks for listening. Here tomorrow, we're going to start with another series. With that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.